Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Thank you, Lord. I just feel in my spirit that, you know, some of you here have had a good week. Things are going well, and you feel all uplifted, and you're all on fire. But some of you have had a hard week, and things are not going well. And you feel like you're bombarded on every side, and nothing is happening. But the word of the Lord is this morning that I am with you, no matter whether you're on the mountaintop or you're down in the valley, no matter where everything is going right or everything is going wrong. It makes no difference. I am still there. I'm guarding you. I'm protecting you. I have a plan for you. I will bring you out of the darkest place that you're in, and I will put you on the mountaintop, and I will set you on fire for me, and I will heal you, and I will deliver you, and I will bring you all the things that you've been praying for.
You know, I have in my spirit, just like the word of the Lord, I know there are people in this room, by the Holy Spirit, I know this, that you're wrestling with a really strong feeling of inadequacy. Maybe you feel like you're not quite up to your job, you're not quite up to your ministry, you're not quite up to what it might take for you to be a mom or a dad or a single parent or a married person. You just wrestle with a feeling like, am I enough? And what I hear the Lord saying is that you are not enough, but that with my blessing, there will be more than enough. For was there not just 5 loaves and just 2 fish? That was not enough. But when I blessed it, said the Lord, when I blessed it, it multiplied and it became more than enough. And were there not baskets left over? And hear the word of the Lord to you. You are but loaves and fishes, my people. But with my blessing, I will cause your effort to multiply. I will cause your ability to increase. And I will cause a quantum increase in what you provide. I will multiply it, says the Lord. And I will make sure there is more than enough. For I am exceedingly able to do all that you ask or think, abundantly, above and beyond, says the Lord. So just present yourself to me. Give me your abilities. Give me your inadequacies. Give me your limitations. For I am intending to bless you. I am intending to be with you. I am intending to multiply you and use you. So receive my grace and know my miracle power is present, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Amen, Lord. Maybe we ought to just say, Lord, thank you that I'm not enough, but you are more than enough. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Lord, you're more than enough. You're more than enough at home. You're more than enough at work. You're more than enough in my life, Lord. We praise you, and we will not be overwhelmed, but we will rejoice. Amen. Why don't you take a minute and just greet 2 or 3 people around you? Just say, hey, it's good to see you this morning. Glad to see you here and glad to be in the same church as you. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I want to welcome everybody here in the sanctuary. If you're listening in the cafe, glad you're listening in. You've got a picture and you've got those nice new screens in there. Hopefully the sound is good and you'll enjoy the message from the cafe. And if you're listening online, by the way, I want to mention our services are now live streamed. What does that mean? That means you can go on your iPad or your iPhone or your digital device and or your laptop, and live at 9 a.m. California time and 11 a.m., you can go to our website. I think we might have a picture of our website up there, gccsj.com. You go over there to where it says GTV Media, and you click on Watch Live stream. So if you do that at the right time, Sundays at 9 and 11, you'll be joining in the service. You'll be able to hear everything, see everything. You'll catch the message. If that's not convenient for you, you can go to the archive, the media archive, and watch the messages. It takes a few days for them to get it all loaded up onto the website, but within a few days, you'll be able to watch the message and stay connected, because people are moving around, they're traveling. I know that life is very, very busy. We're doing our best to keep you connected no matter where you are. I was talking to one of our elders, actually. He spent a couple of days in the hospital this last week, and she's sad that she was missing church. And I said, don't forget, you can live stream. I'll be talking about miracles this Sunday. And so I'm not sure if Laura's here this morning or if she's at home, but she can. Now, so if you're not even feeling well, you can live stream and watch me in your pajamas, and I won't even know. You can put the ice thing on your head and the thermometer and just watch and get a touch from God. All right. Hallelujah. Okay, so we had a great Sunday last Sunday, and the message was about God's greater power. We started this new series. We're going to stay on it for a little while, talking about God's power. And we had a thought from last week, which was that no matter what you're facing in life, God's power is greater. But there's more to the idea of God's power than just getting through the hard things. The Bible is clear that God's power often manifests in our life in the form of miracles. Miracles. Everyone say miracles. And so I want us to talk today about what is a miracle and how do miracles happen and why are they valuable? Why would we want a miracle in our life, and what is the usefulness of a miracle? And at the end of the service, we had such a beautiful service, the first service. Holy Spirit's presence came. We started to worship at the end, and a sense of God's power just filled the campus, and we just started praying for people. We're going to do that again. We're going to believe if you need a touch today, we're going to believe that God can touch you just right where you are. Does that sound good? So today we're talking about miracles, and I want to draw your attention to John chapter 14. Let's go right to the words of Jesus, okay? Here's what he says about miracles. I tell you, anyone believing in me shall do the same, what? Miracles. Shall do the same miracles I have done. Now, if we stop right there, that is an amazing statement. If we believe in Jesus, anyone who believes will experience the same miracles that Jesus experienced. But he says more. He doesn't leave it there. He says this, you'll do the same miracles I have done and even greater ones. So the experience that we should be having, the experience that we should consider normal Christianity, is a greater miracle power in our lives. Why? Because I am going to the Father, he says. So you can ask him for anything using my name, and I will do it. For this will bring praise to the Father. In other words, miracles bring honor and glory to God. This is a good thing. Miracles will bring praise and honor to the Father because of what I, the Son, will do for you. Yes, ask anything using my name, and I will do it. Everyone say, wow. I mean, there's a little bit of grandeur in that statement. There's a little bit of majesty and power in an invitation that Jesus is issuing to us to enter into his miracle life through faith and to bring that into our place of prayer and our place of asking him and receiving miracles. So let's talk about miracles and what they are. What is a miracle? Webster's has an interesting definition of miracle. I can't really improve on it. It says that a miracle is an extraordinary event. In other words, that's something that doesn't usually happen. A lot of people think that miracles happen a million times a day in their life. That hasn't been my experience. To me, miracles are rare. But miracles happen, extraordinary events manifesting divine intervention. In other words, God getting involved in human affairs. So really, anytime God gets involved, it's in a sense a miracle. So in that sense, we can say miracles are continuous. But real astonishing, shocking miracles, miracles that make your eyes pop. Although they are rare, they should be a part, a regular part, a real part, a definite part of every Christian's experience. How many of you would like to experience a miracle in your life? Well, let me ask you this. Let me change the question. How many of you believe in your life that you have seen and experienced an actual miracle? Can I see your hand? Awesome. That's the majority of people here. And the truth is 85% of Americans say exactly the same thing. Now, if 85% of Americans believe in miracles, and Jesus is telling us we should be experiencing miracles, we should open our hearts to the operation of some surprises that God would have for us from heaven. There was an Amish man who he and his son, for the very first time, went to a mall. And they were just taking it in. I mean, they were shocked by everything they said. They're not used to all the technology. They're not used to all the modern things and things, the escalators and the flashing lights and just all the amazing things that you would see at a mall. And so they were just taking it in, and they were really in shock, not having seen very often these things, that they noticed two shiny silver doors that seemed to open and close all by themselves. And there were little numbers over these doors, and they were looking and just marveling at these doors that open and close. And just then, as they were looking at these silver doors, an aged lady, an older lady, came up to the doors, and she pressed one of the buttons next to the door. And when she pressed that button, the door opened, and she went in, and it seemed like the doors magically closed behind her. And they were just like, where did she go? She went into this small little room and the doors closed. And as they watched, it wasn't 20 seconds later and the lights were blinking and these guys had never seen anything like that. And suddenly the doors opened again and out walks this beautiful 24-year-old girl, just dressed beautifully, this like a picture on the cover of a magazine, and they're in shock. And the only thing, the father, just after a couple of seconds, he nudges the son and he says, son, go get your mother. I mean, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's unusual, right? But in all seriousness, real miracles were a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. They are something that if you read the Gospels, you'll see he healed the sick. That's a miracle. You'll see that he calmed the storms. That's a miracle. You'll see that he raised the dead. That's a miracle. He himself rose from the dead. That is a miracle. He fed the hungry. And on and on and on. 35 miracles in the Gospels. However, as shocking, that's a lot of Gospels. That's a lot of miracles. 35 miracles in just 3 short years of ministry. Right? And if you look then, for example, at the miracles in the book of Acts, you'll find a whole nother set of miracles. The book of Acts covers a couple of decades, so it's not like miracles took place every single day, but there were outstanding miracles that took place, and it caused amazing things to happen in the church. We should be seeing miracles. But here's what's exciting. Not just the books of John or the Gospels or the book of Acts, but the Bible says this in John. Jesus did many other things. Things that were not even written down in the scripture. He did many other things at the whole world. If they were written down, the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. So this thing of miracles and the frequency and the power of miracles is amazing. He did miracles. He promised that we would do miracles and experience miracles, so therefore we should expect miracles. And I want us to say yes to that. Should we expect miracles? Yes. Sure we should. How about you? Are you expecting them? Have you kind of put miracles into your probably not box? Have you in your faith, have you just said, I don't know if that's for me, I don't know if that's for today, I don't know if that's real. I mean, that's fine maybe for other people. But what I want to say to you, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have the presence of miracle power in your life. And what I want to say to you is that What the writer of Hebrews says concerning Jesus, Hebrews 13:8 says this. Jesus, in fact, can we read this together aloud? I love this verse. It says, Jesus Christ is the same, come on, yesterday, today, and what's that saying? It's saying that it's not just that miracles are written in this book. It means that miracles are who Jesus is. It's part of his character. Everywhere he goes, whatever he touches, he is miraculous. He's greater. He's not an ordinary person. He's a miracle savior, a miracle deliverer, a miracle healer. So when you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, that means to say a miracle is present in your life. And the power of miracles is present in your heart. My question is, are you accessing that? Are you standing in that? Are you believing for that? Because your faith is very important. And here's one last thing I'll mention before we go on to the next question. Miracles are a part of Christ's eternal character. In other words, it's who he is. It's not just what he does. It is his nature to do miraculous things. And if he is in your life, and I pray that he is, I pray that you've welcomed him and invited him into your life. And if you have, he's there. And that he is able to do a miracle in your life. Do you believe that? If you do, say amen. Amen. So miracles, miracles. Now, how do miracles happen? Let's think deeply for a few minutes about how people could possibly experience miracles. I'd like to say that miracles come through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to know that I cannot do a miracle. I don't have the ability to turn on my miracle button and wave my magic wand or say my spiritual words or whatever and force a miracle into your life. Miracles don't come from David Canastrasi. They can't come from you either. Who do they come from? They come from God through the Holy Spirit, right? So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in this place, and he is God. That means there is nothing that he cannot do. So a miracle is no harder for God than an ordinary operation, than breathing, than thinking. God has all power. His power is greater. And through the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is in you and in me and operating in the world today, that's where miracles come. They do not come from people. They come from the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's very interesting that one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, think about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 and verse 29 names a gift of the Holy Spirit called the gift of miracles. Now, you've heard of the gift of prophecy. Maybe you've heard of the gift of tongues. You've heard of the gift of discerning of spirits and word of wisdom. And there are nine, at least nine gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But one of them, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of miracles. That means that there's a chance that somebody in this room that knows God and has the Holy Spirit, some of you may have the gift of prophecy, some of you may have the gift of discerning of spirits, some of you may have the gift of other gifts like hospitality or language or intercession. There are so many gifts mentioned in the Bible. But could it be that somebody listening to my voice right now actually has a gift of miracles? We've seen people who pray for the sick, and they seem to be very good at it. It's marvelous. Now, forget what their hair looks like, or forget their funny accents, or forget how they act, or their theatrics, or whatever. Don't despise, just because it comes in a package that might be different than what you're used to, or it's a little, you know, odd to you, don't despise the fact that that person may have an actual true touch of God on their life for miracles. Now, that doesn't mean everything they say is right. That doesn't mean everything they do is right. But my point is this. The gifts of the Holy Spirit include a gift of miracles. So if miracles are not for today, which is what some people would say, especially some Bible people that I don't think they've actually read their Bibles. I'm not sure if they're actually, you know, you start with a verse like John 14 where Jesus says, anybody who believes in me is going to experience miracles and do even greater miracles. to me, that kind of settles it. But it's again and again and again in the scripture. And there are still people that say, nope, that's not for today. We're going to put that on pause. We're going to put a pin in that. That's for somebody else. That's for overseas. That's only for missionary circumstances. I don't believe that. I believe God's miracles are present anywhere Jesus is present. And through the Holy Spirit, especially through vessels who has certain giftings, that these gifts and operations can take place. So God's power works that way, through the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a priest. He experienced a miracle power, I think. I think it was a miracle. He was driving down. This is a very famous story. Maybe you've heard it. He was driving in London. And I guess he was going a little bit too fast or whatever. They pulled him over. And he was speeding, and the policeman stopped him. And he rolled down a window, and the cop smelled alcohol. And he said, "Father." And then he looked inside, and on the floorboard was a half-consumed bottle of wine. And the police officer is very upset because he's thinking, is he drinking? And he said, "Father, have you been drinking?" And the father got, he was surprised, and he said, "No, just water, just water." And the cop said, "Then why do I smell alcohol?" And he looked at the bottle, and he looked at the cop, and he said, "Oh, my Lord, he did it again." He turned water into wine. Now look, that's an old joke. You're very courteous for laughing. Very courteous. You're kind, very kind. That's not the kind of miracle I'm talking about. Here's the next thing. God's power operates when faith is present. Everyone say faith. Faith. So faith is the fuel. Faith is the gasoline. You can't start your car without gas. And you can't experience a miracle without faith. In the Bible, every time miracles took place, it was because people were believing. And faith is so powerful. The expectation, the belief, the stretching that we can see something happen, not that we make happen, but that God makes happen. So it's a faith that understands this: all things are possible, Jesus said, right? All things are possible for who? For the doubters? For the skeptics? For the cynics? For the critics? For who? For the one who believes. And you know what? I've made up my mind. I'm going to be somebody who believes. I know there's a lot of funny business about miracles. I know there's a lot of phony religion. I also know that there is not everything that is a miracle from God. Now, that's a whole nother part of this that we have to understand. Not every miracle comes from God. The devil can do miracles. Pharaoh's magicians did miracles, and on and on and on. We find there are dark powers in the world. But when the gospel is being preached and the name of Jesus is being invoked and people are being drawn to Jesus Christ, if there was a miracle that took place, we'd have to say that is likely a miracle from God. So we're asking for the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, look, when you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to give you a scorpion. If you're hungry after the right things, you're not going to get a devil. Right? So you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your focus on him. And if you want a miracle, here's what I would say, and especially as we pray today, I would say reach. There's got to be a little faith that kind of takes a chance and reaches and says, I want that for myself. I was thinking about this the other day in the garden, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden and he put the tree of life right there. He said, look, you can eat this as much as you want. You can have as much of this as you want. But it was a tree, right? And that means that they had to reach up and they had to take it. And I would like to ask you, are you at a place in your life where you're reaching for God? Are you one of the people that crosses his arms and says, well, God knows where I live and if he wants me to have a miracle, he can do it. Well, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of faith to me. Faith is more like this. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, They're telling me to pipe down. They're telling me to go sit down and stop by. But if I can just press, if I can just press through and just, I just know something's going to happen. I tell you, if we came to church, if we came to prayer, if we came before God with that heart, Lord, if I can just really encounter you, I know something will take place in my life. So let me encourage you. Don't fold your arms and sit back and make fun of people that are hungry and have faith. You should get faith too.
Amen.
You should get, because nothing is going to be impossible to you if you have this fuel in your engine, which is called faith. Hallelujah. God's power operates. We're talking about miracles. What are they? They come from the Holy Spirit. They happen when faith is present, but also they happen sometimes progressively, meaning to say that God can stage things into your life like a step at a time. And that's a miracle. When God is moving into your marriage, let's say you have a really tough marriage situation, and God just starts to move in a day at a time, a week at a time, and slowly you see your marriage moving in a better direction. To me, that's God's miracle intervention. And we shouldn't say, well, that's not God's power. It is God's power. And not everything that God does is instantaneous. And not everything that he does is dramatic. Sometimes he stages and steps things into our life. In fact, the whole way that you're growing spiritually right now, you are growing a day at a time, a stage at a time, but it is God's power that is working in your life. And so you say, well, I have a son that's an addict, and I'm in a desperate situation, and I need a miracle. And it could happen. Sometimes people are miraculously delivered or whatever, some like in one day or one minute, it can happen. But there are other kinds of miracles that take place progressively in our life, and we shouldn't get discouraged and say, well, because it's taking time for my marriage to get better or for my son to get free or for my career to take off or for my business to grow. You know, you can't stamp your feet and say, well, God, you know, my first day in business I didn't become a billionaire my first day, so therefore you must not be involved. Don't do that to God, and don't do it to yourself. Learn to flow with God a step at a time. There was a man who Jesus prayed for. Remember, he was blind, completely blind. And Jesus prayed for him. And then he asked him, how's your sight? And the man said to the Lord, I see men like trees. Remember that? I see men like trees. In other words, it's improved, but it's still fuzzy. It's not clear. And Jesus ministered to him again. And it cleared up and he received his sight. So if the Lord is staging a miracle into your life by steps, just be a receiver.
Yes.
Just say, praise the Lord. I still have pain, but it seems like it's a little bit less. So I'm believing, right? And so be a person that is always ready to reach and looking for those staged miracles, those progressive miracles that God will do. And then there is the instantaneous miracle. God's power also operates instantly. And we know this, we read this in the Bible, and we know from stories of saints and people that have experienced God's miracles, ordinary people, sometimes there's an instantaneous, I know people that were instantly delivered from drugs. Instantly delivered. Others have a different course. I know people that have instant miracle, a total instant healing in their body. Other people, it's progressive. As long as it's God's power, I'll receive it. Amen? Now, that instantaneously is a little bit more like what we would call a miracle because we like the instantaneous dimension. But let's not downplay the power of a progressive miracle. If your marriage is getting better and better, that's a miracle.
Yes.
Something's happening there. And stay engaged with it and believe God. And so you've gone through a tough time and it's taken many years and you've been through this. But don't say, well, God must have forsaken me because it didn't happen instantly. Stay engaged. Keep reaching. Keep reaching and keep believing because nothing will be impossible for you. Next Sunday, something really interesting is going to be happening here in our 9 and 11 a.m. services. I'm going to introduce you to, I'm coming back from L.A. Saturday night. I'm going to introduce you to Dr. Susan Richards, who is a new friend of mine. She's a Stanford MD. She prays for the sick. Now, she has full medical credentials. She's very well known. She has, by the way, she has a 1.5 million followers on her Facebook alone. She's written books on nutrition and healthy living. She's very balanced. She's not exotic. She's not weird. She's just like talking to your grandmother, unless your grandmother's weird, and then it would be different. But this is a very beautiful, sweet lady, and so full of love. I would say the primary thing that you sense from her is just a gentleness and a sweet love and a real faith. I think that she has a gift of miracles. Now, again, that doesn't mean she can turn it on or turn it off when she wants. That just means the Lord touches through her prayers. And so she's going to share her story. She's going to share some pictures of people that have had progressive miracles, amazing things that have happened. I'm talking about people that were wearing halos, people that had cervical spinal injuries, kind of like the Christopher Reeve type injury, and they're now mountain climbers. And I want you to hear some of these stories, and I don't want you to fold your arms and be sitting. I want you to say, wow, is this God? Is this? And kind of get up on your tiptoes and be open, because, again, she's only a human being, but something's happening in her life. And I would like you to bring somebody with you that might like to hear from a Stanford MD who prays for sick people. Her story is pretty amazing. So we're going to have a great time next Sunday, April 10th, and she's going to share, and I am going to ask her to pray and minister. So if you're not well, if you need a miracle, it'd be a good Sunday for you to come. Also, you can live stream. Just pick up your little tablet. Okay, so you're in Mazatlan, right? You got your iced tea, but you're watching the healing power of God. Praise God. You can receive in Mazatlan, all right? I might join you. Okay. Let's finish. We still got time. How you guys doing?
Amen.
Are you bored?
No.
Okay, good. Three reasons miracles are valuable. Okay, why would we want miracles? Why would we want to say we're okay with miracles? First of all, it produces a greater witness for Christ. Please understand, miracles bring an effective testimony that Jesus is who he said he was. Mark chapter 16 says this, after the he commissioned his disciples and they went everywhere and they were preaching the gospel and telling the good news and the Lord was working with them and the Lord was helping them. It says that by giving them power to do miracles, the English Revised Version says, by giving them power to do miracles, the Lord proved that their message was true. Now let's think about this for a minute. When a miracle takes place, it's like an exclamation point saying to people, you know, you need to be believing what's happening here. But let's just stop for a minute, because I don't want you to make this mistake. I don't want you to think that every time something magic or miraculous or spiritual happens, that is definitely the power of God. Again, we know that the enemy has certain powers. So we're not children about this. We know that there are dark powers in the world that can, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the enemy is a supernatural being as well, right? So he can do supernatural things. So it's not to say that every miracle is definitely of God. But I'll tell you this, if it's a miracle that is glorifying Christ and pointing the way to Christ and affirming the truth of the gospel, that's good enough for me. Because I can tell you, the devil is not going to give you a miracle that points to Jesus and how faithful and how true he is. That is not the message the devil wants to give you. So you won't get tripped up on that. Miracles establish a great witness. And here's what keeps us safe. We keep our eyes not on the miracle, but we keep our eyes on Jesus. I want you to have a miracle. I don't want you to take your eyes off of Jesus and put it on the miracle. If you need a miracle, that's fine. Let's pray. But keep your eyes on who?
Jesus.
On Jesus. Don't ever look at a miracle ministry. Don't ever look at a miracle person. Don't ever look at a minister a certain way. Your source is Jesus. And he moves through the power of the Holy Spirit. He could touch you through your grandmother. He could touch you through a blind intercessor. He could touch you through someone in a wheelchair. Or he could touch you through a healing evangelist. I'm not sure it really makes a difference. He just loves you and he wants to touch you. Amen. So don't get your eye on a person or even the miracle itself. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Do you receive that?
Amen.
Those things will establish the authenticity of Jesus and the Son of God. A good example of this is when Jesus spoke to the storm. He was out there on the Sea of Galilee. One day that storm kicked up. He rebuked it. Right away the storm went down. It was a miracle. It was his power. And they said to themselves, surely this is the Son of God. This just got real. We just saw something. Even the miraculous way that Jesus died, or should I say, the miraculous way that he didn't die until every scripture was fulfilled. Yes. And until he personally threw the switch and gave up the ghost. That's what the Bible says. He gave up his spirit and leaves it. He maintained such, as they were beating him and crucifying him and humiliating him, he maintained such composure, and people look. And then when he died, he bowed his head, he gave up the ghost, and there was an earthquake, and the sky got dark. And remember what the Roman soldier said? I think we messed up. Remember this? What did he say? He saw all that miracle, and he said, this was certainly the Son of God. So miracles have a way of pointing to the truth and the authenticity of who Jesus is. And so that's why we should value them. Here's the second piece. We should value miracles because they encourage our faith. They encourage a greater faith. And faith is where it's at. When people get stirred to have faith, look, would you rather be around a bunch of people who are cynical and doubting? Or would you rather be around people that are believing? Look, I'd rather believe and make a few mistakes than be perfectly correct and full of unbelief all the time. I'd rather take a chance and believe that God could do something that he promised to do than to be so tightly wound, so worried about it, about being so perfectly correct that I absolutely have no power in my life. If I'm going to make a mistake, I would like to make a mistake in the direction of faith and trust and believing God.
Amen.
So no question we're going to make a mistake. Let's have greater faith in our lives. Jesus did many other signs, it says, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, John 20, but these miracles are written in the Gospels that you may, what?
Believe
what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is why these miracles are written down, so that you may believe, and that in believing you would obtain eternal life, the God kind of life. So a miracle was written down in the Bible. And we know that many other miracles were done that weren't written down, that are valid. But these were written down so that we would believe, yes, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And we would receive him as our Lord and Savior and find eternal life. That miracle should be yours today. If you've never given your life to Christ, you should do that today. You should pray with me in a few minutes and make sure that you've said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Son of God, and I want that miracle of eternal life, forgiveness of my sins. Can you imagine the life that we would live if we would just believe a little bit more, if we would trust just a little bit more? Look at what A.W. Tozer says. He says this: anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. Now look, what difference does that make in your life? So tomorrow you go back to your real life, right? Because church isn't real. You go back to your real life. You're on the campus. You're in the workplace. And you say to yourself, anything God has ever done, he can do today. In my real estate office, in my biology class, it can happen right here, And anything he's ever done anywhere could happen right here. And anything he's done for anyone could happen for me right now. This will change the way you live. Because miracles, incidentally, aren't just for Sundays. They're for you. They're for your now. They're for your everyday. So believe and reach. Okay? It's not that you have to have a miracle every day. There's nothing wrong if you didn't. But why don't we open our lives up and live a little bit more in faith when we pray for our children, when we tackle problems at work, when we go through our trials in our life? Why don't we just get up on our tiptoes a little bit more and stretch and believe for God's miraculous power in our lives? Here's the last piece. And then we're going to pray together and have a little prayer time. And I believe God could just touch people right here in this room. I think miracles are valuable in the expression of greater kindness. I think the world is hungry to see the kindness of God. And when God moves to heal someone or to provide for someone or to be gracious to someone, why is he doing that? Is he showing off his power? I'm just going to tell you the honest truth. If you say this, it's okay. I'm not mad at you. I don't like to hear people saying, we just want God to show off. I don't read God as a show off. I don't feel like God's a show off. I think whatever God does, he doesn't do to show off. I believe he does it because he's kind. Yes. Because he cares. So he moves into people's lives because he loves people. And he loves you. And if you're hurting today, if you're in pain, the Lord doesn't want to show off. Woohoo! Look what I can do. Pew! You know, watch this one. Pew! You know, Jesus, that's amazing. Can you do it with both hands tied behind your back? You bet. Pew! You know, I know that's probably not what people mean when they say that, but this person I have ever met. And that when he starts to move, and he starts to touch people. They said concerning the message that they preached and the miracles, it was that it showed that their message about God's great kindness was true. Do you believe that God is kind? He's the kindest person I've ever known. And if you're sick, he wants to be kind to you. If you're depressed, discouraged, God wants to show you his kindness. Maybe it'll be a miracle. Maybe it'll be something that he just stages into your life, his power. But I do know this. If you believe him, you're going to be way better off than if you doubt him. Would you stand with me? I want us to just have time to worship the Lord. The worship team's going to come and just sing. And can we just, let's don't be in a hurry for the next 5 or 6 minutes. Let's just allow, and here's what I would say. As we sing and as we worship, because the Holy Spirit really, he is present. I sense the Holy Spirit in this room. That if you need a touch, if something's going on in your life, and if you'd like to receive prayer, you could slip into the aisle, just stand in the middle here or in the aisle that's close to you. And that'll be a signal to some of our elders. I'd like to ask for help from elders and intercessors and pastors today. You can just slip into the aisle and a few of us will just move around. We'll just pray for you. We'll agree. If you want to come up here, that's fine. Let's worship the Lord. Let's get up on our tiptoes. Let's reach for something good. And let's believe for his presence. Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit as we worship you. Now, please, Lord, show your kindness and touch your people, I pray. In Christ's name. Come on, let's worship. Thank you, Father.
God, you are our strength. Let's sing it.
God, our strength.
Go ahead, you can step out.
God, our Savior. God, our hope.
If you need a miracle, just step out. It's okay.
Yours forever is the glory.
See people in the aisles, you can go in the aisles.
Go ahead and step out into the aisle if you need prayer.
God, our shield. God, our shelter. God, our
let's worship him.
Yours forever is the glory, the honor, the victory, the victory and power. Your
there's no one like our God. You alone are worthy, God. You
are greater.
You are.
You are. You are.
God, you are. Come on, let's lift him up in his place.
You are. You are.
Sing it again. God, you are.
God, you are greater.
Worship the Lord with your own words. Come on, worship the Lord in this place. Just close your eyes and receive from the Lord. Whatever you need, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are peace. We speak life over death, Lord. We speak joy over depression. We speak restoration into marriages, restoration into families. We speak blessing into businesses. Lord, do miracles. Open up the heavens, open up the heavens, open up the heavens, open
up
the heavens. Oh, one more time. You are greater.
God, you are great.
You sing at church. Come on, lift your voice.
Great.
There's no one like our God.
No one like our God. Come. You alone are.
Come on,
great.
Lift your voice, God. You are great.
Greater. There's no one like our King.
All the earth will sing.
God, you are greater.
Now, you might think because you're not in a wheelchair or because you don't have a C1 vertebrae injury or something that you don't need a miracle. But the truth is, all kinds of miracles are possible. Getting free from depression would be a miracle. God touching your marriage would be a miracle. There's all kinds of miracles that God can do. And my whole point today is just to wake up our faith to say, you know, anything is possible to the one who believes. How many of you believe? So I just speak a blessing over you right now. If you're depressed, I come against that depression. If if you have constant strife in your relationships, always a fight, always a contest, I take authority over that in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that you would just change the landscape of people's experience and how they're experiencing life, and do it by your power. Do this, Lord, in the cafe, Lord, right here in the auditorium, online. Touch your people, I pray. I want to encourage you to say a prayer with me. Maybe you're here today, you're new to faith, you're not sure if you're saved, or you've been around for a long, long time, and you just say, well, man, I want to get more of God's power in my life. There's a prayer up on the screen. I want every person to say this, especially if you are not sure that you're saved. You can have that confidence. You say this prayer, and you will know that you are saved. You'll be born again. So let's say this prayer aloud together, everyone praying. Here we go. Father God, thank you for calling me into a life that is greater than I've ever known. I want to know you and experience your power. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Save me, cleanse me, fill me with your power, and make me new today in Christ's name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? You prayed that prayer for the first time. We're clapping for you because if you prayed that prayer for the first time, hey, we'd like to know that you said that prayer. There's a card in the pocket right in front of you. It says, I have decided. Would you take a minute? Just fill out that card. Let us know you've prayed that prayer. You can come and bring the card here and set it up on the pulpit here, and I'd like to shake your hand and greet you. Today, the blessing of the Lord is on you. I believe you're going to have an amazing week this week. I believe grace and peace is going to fill your life as never before. You're really going to live different, and I'm excited to hear the testimonies of what God has done for you. I love each and every one of you. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, you can come. And if you've made a decision for Christ, please take a moment, 30 seconds, fill out the decision card. Bring it here. Shake my hand. I'd love to meet you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.